in our dissertation, take the document out. There are some in the back if anyone doesn't have one. Repeat after me, scriptural distinctions,
scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity,
actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time. We're going to beat this horse for a long time. I aim, prayer, petition, is that it be indelibly impressed, etched into your hearts, amen, that we can distinguish between actualization and manifestation. Also, in the document itself, let's turn to page 21, where we will focus, and we began last week, the scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Everybody repeat after me. The scripturally cognitive, aspects of probabilities. Oh my God, hallelujah. In conjunction with this, there are a few golden nuggets we want to pull out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So we will turn to that. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Amen. Ultimately, we're going to, in detail, focus Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And also, for corroboration, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 to 24. We'll be doing quite a bit of reading this morning. Amen. So open your Bibles and your minds, your hearts, and ask God to keep your attention on what the proceedings are, what's going forth. Amen. For there's much to be spiritually garnered to the point of really taking the pressure and the stress out of your lives.
Right.
And really making the essence of life comprehensive. Because, you know, the more the things we know, the more the less things we are afraid of.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
Well, our fear comes from a lack of understanding. Those things that we fear, we are most afraid of. And the phobia of such is basically induced by ignorance. Now, when I say ignorance, now again, you know, some pastors don't use that word so much. And yeah, but we get the etymology of that word. It simply means what?
Lack
of knowledge. And so that means that we all are ignorant or have lack of knowledge concerning some things.
Amen.
All right. On page 21, under the scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Everybody with me? All right. Many have referred, and I'm going back over this a little bit, to the occurrences that are manifested in the time capsule as probabilities, which are classified as events or circumstances that are probable. That is what is most likely to occur. In scientific terminology, probabilities are defined in the formula. It is the ratio of the numbers of outcomes in an exhausted set of equally like outcomes that produce a given event proportionate to the total number of possible outcomes. Simply stated, breaking that down, the chance that a given event will occur. So basically, it's the chance that a given event will occur. The study of probabilities engenders the logical relation between statements such that evidence confirming one confirms the other to some degree. Now, here we are still dealing in the secular sense of what has been garnered from such. But the scripture analyzation of the qualitative aspects of probabilities invariably induce scrutiny in the distinguishing of component parts from a different perspective. Follow me now. Namely, analyzing the cognitive aspect of such. They are herein categorized twofold. The first category of the cognitive meaning of probability is that it essentially reflects the amount of information available about possibly events. Some things we know, some things God is pleased to reveal to us, and others he doesn't. Amen. And won't. And many things that we won't know until the manifestation of our glorified state. The second probabilities cognitive aspect category, part of this, is what the significance of the authentication of probability essentially is. I want you to follow me in this, is what makes it real. Amen. What's the essence of what is likely occurred and when? The first consideration must be the expounding of the relationship between humanly calculated possibilities and the level of information available about the subject of the probability analysis. Amen. What you perceive basically comes from what you are exposed to in learning or knowing. Opinions are shaped by the things that we hear.
Right, right.
Amen. Perceptions are also the result of things that we learn, we hear, we believe. Amen. I was talking to the young people this morning about when I was small and coming up in church, and just in that day, when it would rain and it would start lightning, there would come a fear. Mm-hmm. And in our house, we had to just sit down and be quiet. No playing while it's lightning. You know, God is talking, eh? You get to run and mess around and mess up some kind of way, and lightning might strike you.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. But later, when knowledge came, you all don't hear me. First of all, the components of lightning, why it occurs, amen. Of course, that doesn't take away from the fact that this is the work of God.
Right.
But scripturally, amen, it's nice to know that God's not up there just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can strike you down.
Well.
So these things are very, very, oh my God, these things are very important. Hence, the analysis proceeds by considering certain examples illustrating that feature of probability in the scripture. Humans are essentially limited to the precepts of images and occurrences that are visibly present before them. We believe and comprehend most things visibly. Hence, they are not privy to nor have knowledge of the composition of things beyond that. Thus, their estimate of things of necessity will be at the level of their greatest anticipation probabilities. Obviously, there objective perception of likelihood will not, at a high level of consistency, duplicate in this strange what actually transpires due to something that has no relation to the subject of the probability estimation. Amen. Many of our perceptions are drawn simply by fears,
right,
about what we fear.
Amen.
Huh? Essentially, those things that actually manifest, follow me here, are due to the level of information subjectively possessed by God, who has already determined such. Amen. I don't have to sit around and wonder what's going to happen, amen, if I'm confident in the fact of what God has designed. Amen. Because only that which he has designed can manifest. Huh? If God hadn't designed it, it can't possibly come on the scene.
Amen.
Impossible. Because limited pre-knowledge of the manifestations of life has been previously consigned, and many are going to militate against us on this, amen, information in the scriptures concerning the pre-knowledge, amen, is not relegated to God, quote, looking down in the time, seeing what's going to happen, and that's how he knows what's going to happen, because he can look down in the time. Isn't that crazy? So now you got something independently happening down in time that God has to look down there and see what it is.
Right.
My God, not only have you impugned his omnipotence, that is his power, you have impugned his knowledge, his omniscience.
Yes.
Amen. God knows a thing because he is the cause of it.
Yes.
You don't have to look anywhere. Amen. That thing doesn't manifest or come to pass. How can it? He is the enabler.
Yes.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. The architect and illustrator of all things.
Yes.
And without him, nothing moves, nothing works, nothing walks, nothing talks. Oh my God.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing. 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 Nothing transpires except as a result of what God has ordered. And that's why that thing is out there. So when I see some things out there not too good, God couldn't possibly have anything to do with that. Where did it come from? Where did that? How did it transpire? What is the cause of it? What has initiated it? From whence is
Amen.
Its inception?
Yes.
Huh? Who beside God in existence is the enabler? All things flows from him and to and accordingly with his plan, will, and purpose. So when we talk about the pre-knowledge of manifestations of life, amen, that's all they are. Yeah, they are reflectors. And God declared, and that's what it is, and now it's coming to revelation. Amen.
Yes, thank God.
And the fact of what it is in the decree,
Amen.
Not in the manifestation.
That's right.
But humans are compelled to assume what are subjectively relevant in life's possible events as equally probable. And that is until we get into this and actually get this understanding. Further, in particular, human inabilities to project transparencies confine probabilities to little more than speculation. There's a vivid illustration, and I want everybody to turn. Kingdom Gospel, this observation is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 to 24. Here we're going to corroborate some things. There are many things all over the scriptures. amen, that fit, but simply as corroborators. Amen. We don't go into any areas of the Bible other than our contract to get the base principles and information concerning a thing. Amen. As I said earlier, our base, which we shall get to, maybe not today, is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 21. In fact, why don't we read that first? I won't try to deal with the essence of exegeting it today. But I think it's proper to read it so that when we read and analyze Matthew chapter 6, we see the connect. All right? Everybody got turn to, just for reading, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20. Say amen.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20.
Now,
we're just going to read that now. We're not going to exegete that per se, but it is for comparative analysis here so that we can see the close relationship between it and Matthew. We can see the actual, amen, consanguinity of it. Close relationship of it. Okay? All right?
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20.
20 and 21. Read them both. Yes.
For our conversation is in heaven,
mm-hmm.
from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, this is our gospel, our contract, our information. Read.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body,
mm-hmm.
according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Okay, now when we break that down and we deal with our moods and our tenses, we'll see that this is already accomplished work. But we're just reading this morning again, as I say, for the consanguinity. That is to establish the close connection so that when we go to Matthew, you'll see that it's the backup, it's not leading, it's following. All right. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, everybody turn to that. Verse 20. Matthew chapter 6.
King James.
We can do it. Okay, we'll do it. Oh my God! I'm not beating up on the King James. I always get accused of beating up on the King James. I'm not. It's a pretty good translation up as translations go.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But we want the actual conveyance, don't we?
Huh? Amen.
And of course, I have basically in the script itself the actual Greek conveyance. And in fact, to save time this morning, because that clock always beats me up, and y'all are not about to give me 3 or 4 hours to preach to you this morning, so I have to speed it up here. Elder, why don't everybody just go to the script itself? Believe me, this is actually the conveyance here that we really want to look at. All right, you got it?
In Greek?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 6.
Now let's go to the script I'm looking at the clock here and I see we're already behind time. Let's take out the document. I've got it scripted there. The actual Greek conveyance there in what we call English friendly page 22. English friendly.
Okay.
jargon. You know, in the Greek, we have the most time we have the predicate preceding the subject, and we have verb preceding nouns and objects preceding verbs. Of course, we say they talk backwards, even though that language has been around much longer than ours. Amen. But we put it in here in this jargon for the sake of time this morning. Okay? Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read it.
In Matthew 6:20-24, Jesus states, "Treasure not up to yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust disfigure, and where thieves break through and steal. But treasure up to yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does disfigure, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be also your heart."
Now that's in the kingdom gospel, believe in God, huh?
Yeah. Amen.
That's you know, those fellows who like to major in Isaiah and and Jeremiah and go back, into those passages and take stuff and try to make it fit today. But you know, you don't see it, you don't hear this much on TV, do you? Huh?
Right.
On the radio? I don't talk about this.
The treasure,
right? No, it's because this is turning away from the earth,
right,
instead of to the earth. Keep reading.
Okay. The lamp of the body is the eye.
Mm-hmm.
If therefore your eye may be perfect, all your body shall be enlightened. But if your eye may be evil, all your body shall be dark.
Mm-hmm.
If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, the darkness how great? None is able to serve two lords.
Mm-hmm.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve God and mammon. Because of this I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you may eat and what you may drink.
Now this is kingdom. This is kingdom. This is kingdom. Is this Matthew we read from? They love to go into Matthew, but not here. They don't want no pause of this. Huh? This is counterproductive to their game plan.
Yeah.
Huh? And hey, don't be telling me. So when we stand and say, don't be caught up in the things around you standing on the horizontal plane, sound like we're coming out of space or something. But this is in the kingdom gospel. Huh? Is it? All right. Read. Everybody wants to say amen. Read.
Is not the life more than the nourishment and the body than the clothing?
Read. Oh, oh, hallelujah.
Look to the look to the fowls of the heavens. For they do not sow nor reap, nor gather into storehouses, and your heavenly Father does nourish them.
Uh-huh.
Are not you much better than they?
Mm.
And who of you, being anxious, is able to add to his age one cubit?
Repeat that. Say that again. Slowly.
And who of you, being anxious, is able to add to his age one cubit?
Does your anxiety add? Thank God it doesn't take away. But does it add anything?
No.
Do you stop anything?
No.
Does your worrying change anything? Stop anything? Alter anything? So why'd you stay up all night long? Troubled about it. Huh?
Have mercy.
What it is. And this is why, you know, we're so afraid. What scripture prophetically says that men are going to faint just at the prospects of what they think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear. Yeah. Probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We're fearing. Phobia. Why? What is the purpose of it? What is the purpose? What is the point? If you could stop that thing, slow it down, alter it, then maybe it would make a little bit of sense.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to see that happen. So your worrying is going to keep that from, you know, you worried about something that you don't want to happen and the probability of it is not based and has no relevance to your anxiety. Now somebody's going to go out and say, well, the pastor's saying, don't even be thinking about the thing. That's not what we're saying. In fact, we absolutely want you to do more than think about it. We want you to analyze it.
Amen. Amen.
But scripturally, everybody says scripturally.
Scripturally.
In other words, don't lean on human secular notions. But what the scripture is saying to us, because that's what it is. And what it is and what it is and has been from eternity.
Thank God. Yes.
All things were actualized by God's decree in eternity.
Glory.
It's simple as that. God's not making up things each day. And, you know, like we get up in the morning sometimes and say, well, let's see what we're going to do. And we think that God, you know, say, what am I going to do today? What's going to happen? Wonder what Ella Nicholson is thinking about today. What is he going to do? You know what I mean? This is how we view God, you know. let me check so-and-so out. I mean, because God comes into the garden and asks, Adam, where are you? Do you actually think God didn't know where Adam was? And even as he spoke to Job, and he asked, not to Job, to the devil, he said, where have you been? What you been doing? He said, going up and down. You think God didn't know? That's anthropomorphic jargon and language that is written in strictly confined to the light of the knowledge that's given in that covenant.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, either God is omniscient or he's not.
That's right.
What does omniscient mean?
All knowing,
all knowledge. So either he knows everything or he doesn't. But then it's helpful to know why he knows. He knows because it is coming to existence because he decreed it and declared it. And he did it in eternity. All things are already done. God's not making up things as he goes like we do sometimes. I mean, we give him credit for being creator, but we give him very little credit for being a planner. Designer. And there's some things you map out beforehand, and now you don't give God this. God help us. All right, continue to read.
Amen. And about clothing, why are you anxious? Consider where the lilies of the field, how do they grow? They do not labor, nor do they spin. And I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. And if the herb of the field that today is and tomorrow is cast to the furnace, God does so clothe not much more you, O you of little faith.
Oh, say it again.
Oh, you of little faith.
You know what? We don't really want to operate on faith. I mean, no, that's a human tendency.
Yeah.
You know, we want to see our way through.
Yeah.
Be okay. Huh? We don't want to walk
right
in the darkness. Well, I don't think we should. We have to walk in the darkness. When you walk by faith, you're not walking in darkness. Mm-hmm. You're not walking. Oh my God, huh? This is why we teach about the Asians and our contracts, and we go back and we see where God accomplished all these things in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
The main force being your salvation.
Hallelujah.
The main thing being your salvation.
Hallelujah.
If God saved you, he's going to feed you according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
If God saved you, he's going to heal you, mm-hmm. but according to his will. If God saved you, then he is going to financially sustain you,
mm-hmm.
but according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can trust the fact that he saved us according to his will,
yeah.
but we don't want to trust the fact of him feeding us and clothing us and and healing us and financially sustaining us according to his will. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? All right. Read.
Therefore, you may not be anxious saying, what may we eat?
Mm-hmm.
Or what may we drink?
Mm-hmm.
Or what may we put around?
Mm-hmm.
For all these do the nations seek for.
Now here he's talking about the Gentiles, or the unbelievers. Remember now, who is Jesus talking to? We're here dealing with kingdom law. What Jesus is preaching here is kingdom law. What covenant are we dealing with? The new covenant. The new covenant of Jeremiah 31. Right? And in Jeremiah 31, the contract explicitly states that it is to who? The house of Judah and the house of Israel. And so what Jesus is saying, I'm talking to you fellas, and you are acting like the nations of the Gentiles. Who don't have a contract with me. And oh my God, we act like we don't have a contract.
That's right. Amen.
We got the best contract of all, which is the grace contract. And many of us living like we don't have a contract.
Amen.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Preach it. Amen.
Amen.
God has given us more than he has given any other entity, because in the third chapter, verse 10, oh my God, he speaks to the end that to the purpose of for the intent that to the principalities and the powers, in the end, he will show the manifold wisdom of God. How does he do it? By displaying what he has accomplished and done in you and me. That is the church. The body of Christ. We've got the best. Everybody say we got the best. Give the Lord a praise for it. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Oh, hallelujah. But here he is talking to his elect Israel. And he was saying, you fellas, you act like you don't have an agreement with me. Now, of course, here's the problem. Many of us don't really trust God. Oh, we sing that song. Trust him, please. You get out there tomorrow and something goes down.
Come on.
Amen. It's almost like you don't know him, or he doesn't know you.
Thank God.
And even if we holler Jesus, it's almost just like an adage. Either he's got us covered or he doesn't.
Hallelujah.
No. I worry about losing my job, losing my house and the foreclosures and all of that going on. You know, regardless of what state you're in, don't be up all. Yeah, listen, this is kingdom. You say, well, you know, you go into the grace gospel, it's kind of complicated. This is simple kingdom stuff. This is kindergarten stuff. Mm-hmm. We're not even up into algebra, or trigonometry, or calculus. This is arithmetic.
That's it.
And it's verified or corroborating our gospel. Finish that up. Oh, look at that clock.
For your heavenly Father does know that you have need of all these.
Mm-hmm. But it's see, like, it's like this. Lord, are you there? Are you there? You know. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come see about me. He's off somewhere. Huh? Remote. And you got to, as the old some used to say, call him up on the telephone and tell him what you want. Uh-huh. Amen. The old saints used to say to some, Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Uh-huh. Call him up and tell him what you want.
Amen.
And I'm not laughing. They, as we thank God for all those that came before us. Amen. This is a new era of enlightenment.
That's right.
Huh? Not only does and this that go for them, not only does he already know what you want, he is the author, amen, and the cause of what both you need and what you want, amen, and the two, amen, sometimes don't connect. Because what you want is really not what you need many times. Y'all don't hear me.
Mm-hmm. Preach, amen.
But we still want what we want because we want it, and because we want it, that's really a need. But there's a difference between a need and a want.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Our gospel teach us that what? He has already what? Our needs. According to what? His riches. In other words, it's the mental pole of God. Mm-hmm. We want to operate on our mental pole.
Yeah.
Our conceptualization of things sometimes are way off. I don't mean just a little, like a country mile away from what God has designed and devised for your enrichment. And development.
That's true.
Some one of these days we're going to figure out that God knows exactly what he's doing. Huh? Amen. All right. Complete that. For all these
do the nations seek for. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these. But seek first.
Mm-hmm.
The reign of God and his righteousness.
The kingdom, the rule, the authority, the province of who?
Of God and his righteousness.
Let's stop there. This is kingdom.
That's right.
This is kingdom. Yeah, we're crazy when we talk about prioritizing. The unseen spiritual.
Amen.
And the things above. According to Colossians 3:1-2.
Right.
And prioritizing the above things. And focusing on a prioritized basis on the thing that is unseen. According to 2 Corinthians 4:18. What these scriptures are saying in our gospel is just more advanced, more explicit, because they are speaking from the heavenly's vertical eternal vantage point.
Amen.
Here Jesus is speaking from the earthly vantage point. Even then, he's saying, seek what first? Read that again.
For all these things do the nation seek for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these. But seek first the reign of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you.
For all other these other things will be added to you. God has already set the course of our lives. And then, see, when we look at it, we read this from our gospel, but you know what? I don't hear this. This is kingdom. And I don't hear this being preached on the airways. We're not interested in what God wants.
Right.
We're interested in what we want.
Right. Yeah.
Our focus is not on God. Our focus is on us. Our priority is our homes, our jobs, and like, well, I mean, wait. Somebody go out here saying, Pastor said, don't be concerned about this. No. The key word here is priority. Do you know you're actually supposed to put God before yourself?
Absolutely.
That's you actually should love God more than you love yourself.
Amen.
And I know that doesn't make any human sense whatsoever. I mean, the priority just doesn't operate that way.
Amen.
So he's saying, seek first. Everybody said first. That means priority. Prioritize God and his righteousness. What about these other things? They'll be supplied. They will be supplied. Are added many times.
That's right.
Are added according to God's decree.
Amen.
Some things you're going to pray for, you're going to get. But you didn't get them because you prayed for them. You get them because that's your course. God has already laid out your course.
Glory to God.
Of everything you're going to do, everything you're going to get, everything you're not going to do, and everything you're not going to get.
Have mercy.
And believe me, if you don't understand that, you're in for a roller coaster ride in life.
Absolutely.
Every day something's going to come up on the scene. So how do you know, Pastor? Do you even follow me around? No. Even in fact, I could take you around with me.
Oh, glory. Thank God.
But knowing what we know, that thing should mentally kill us.
That's right.
And incapacitate us
right
to the point that you're somewhere depressed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
God's people depressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amber.
What did Paul say? I've learned what?
Amber.
To be content.
Yeah.
What? When my bills are paid. No! In whatever situation I'm found.
Yes, Lord.
Even when he was hungry and thirsty and cold, he said, naked, to this very hour, he was content. What do you mean? Do you like that? Nothing about what we like. It's about us learning to abide according to the course that God has outlaid for us. You're not there because God forgot you.
Come on.
Or because God is upset with you and retaliating against you. If that was the case, we'd have been all dead a long time ago. No. It is God's purpose in your life.
Glory to God.
According to his will. According to his plan. Now, I don't mean that I humanly like the situation. But we don't walk according to the dictates of our likes or dislikes. We should always be seeking what is the will of God. If that's not true, let's just rip these pages right out of the book and just don't even go there. And in fact, I guess that's what they don't do anymore. In many churches, they don't go there. Because this is antithetical to meism. You know what meism is? For me, by me, about me, to me. Me, fly like a little child and say, you know, you can't say, oh, that's mine. Amen. How many of us know that God's calling the shots?
Yes, indeed.
And he's doing a very good job of it.
Yes,
very good job.
Thank you.
You know what the saints used to sing that song? And I don't know what they're singing anymore, but he's a very good leader. Huh? And it said, let Jesus lead you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. We're not going to get where we're going today. Go ahead. Be not,
therefore,
anxious for tomorrow.
Now, this is corroboration to the scripture. And we would touch on it, not today, that says, be not what? Actually, that's translated over anxious. We're not just anxious. We don't ride in low gear, we ride in high gear. You didn't say overdrive, you don't ride in drive, we ride in overdrive. We don't function in anxiety. We function in over anxiety.
Amen.
Huh? We pull the throttle all the way out. We start worrying and fretting over things. Huh? Sometimes when I don't see something, I know what's happening somewhere, licking their wounds, feeling sorry. You gotta feel sorry for it. You are eternally. Oh, my God. You were eternally placed in the body of Christ.
Lord, yes, Lord.
Given the nature of God.
Oh, yes.
Before you were ever
Hallelujah.
Encapsulated in these bodies. Your first position in place was sun positioning. And for manifestation purposes, in the time capsule, you have been positioned in these vile bodies, and that's only for a short while.
That's right. Amen.
That's not a long time. I heard there was somebody, the announcement was given in 100 years. Amen. I applaud too. That's 1,200 months. And that's 36,500 and some days. So, well, that's a long time. Yeah, but if you using the human time abiding pole, that's a long time. But if you're using the eternal pole, that is but a whisper.
Yes.
Our life is unending in Christ. But we don't think about that, so because our perceptions, some of our perceptions can't project beyond the horizontal plane of what's around us. And then I said to you, then go in your contract and read it again.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
Everything is from the heavenlies.
Amen.
Paul starts out, oh my God, in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, and he speaks of spiritual blessings. What's the locale of it? In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
Huh? Somebody said, where is heaven? Is this place? No. Come on now. This is why you see this thing always in italics, in good translation anyway, well, italicized. That word places is not there. It's in the heavenlies. It's plural. In the heavenlies. Then what the heavenlies? In Christ. In Christ. That sums up the whole thing.
That's right.
In Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Christ.
Amen.
You're in Christ.
Thank
you. You're eternally in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Christ? Somebody say, who's Christ? Colossians. What's that, 1:16? What does it say?
In him.
Who is he? When it refers to that, in him, what are we referring to?
Christ.
Referring to Christ.
Right.
In him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in him.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? God didn't have to be reaching out and be trying to hold things out. This entire universe is where?
In him.
All things were created where? Everything was created where?
In him.
Mm-hmm. John corroborates it. Without him, nothing exists. Nothing was made aside from him. And we worried about, Lord, are you there? Well, where is God in the universe then? Are you kidding? The universe is in him. Wasn't the universe created? Where could it abide except in him? And the universe doesn't even, as vast as it is, it doesn't even fill him up.
Hammer.
We don't know who we're talking about, do we, huh? So if you got the Creator, he's more than a place. Because a place can only be what he has created. And the Creator is more than his creation. So when you say in him, you've got it all. Oh, we just don't know how blessed we are. So therefore, don't be anxious for tomorrow. For what?
Be not anxious.
For tomorrow shall be anxious of his own things.
For tomorrow shall be anxious.
Sufficient for the day.
Oh my God. I know my time is out. We have to come back to this next week. Amen. But you know how I'm going to explain this? I'm going to explain this from the vantage point of the knowledge that's in our contract.
Amen.
Not what's here. Because Jesus is saying something, and unless you can project into the essence of our contract, you won't be able to follow what he's saying. What do you mean tomorrow will be anxious for his own things? What are you talking about? He said, well, they said, well, tomorrow will take care of itself. You know, no. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. Tomorrow doesn't take care of it. Who takes care of it?
God
takes care of it. He takes care of it in tomorrow because, amen, he has designed tomorrow because he has designed time. You know, he has designed time. And the vicissitudes of life.
Glory to God, yes. Amen.
Do not dominate you.
Yeah.
Because God has designed them.
Ooh, Lord, hallelujah.
And so we should be able to sing the song.
Thank God.
He's sweet, I know. With this knowledge. We can say he's sweet, I know.
Yes, Lord.
Storm may rise. Strong winds may blow. But everybody said but. I know the song says, I found. You didn't find nothing. We don't, so that's why we changed, huh? From eternity, you've always had a Savior.
Yes, Lord.
You are now in jeopardy. Why do you live as though you're in jeopardy? You are now in jeopardy in salvation. If you're not in jeopardy in salvation, you're saved as a cure for all along. Oh my God.
Thank God.
On Christ.
Yes.
the solid rock.
Thank God.
I stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. All.
All.
All. All on the ground is sinking sand. Oh my God. Huh?
Glory to God.
He's the rock of my salvation. He's the security and the stability of my life. In Him I will delight. I will dwell. Oh my God, I won't fret. According to the knowledge of my covenant, such is not relevant. The fretting won't get it. The worrying won't get it. Amen. Why don't you try trusting a little while? Huh? Trust Him. Let Jesus leave you. Let Jesus lead you. He's a very good leader. Oh my God, He's a perfect leader. Whatever you need. I mean really need. God has already provided it. I ever need. For our God has supplied all. Everybody say all. All of our needs according to His riches and glory. So regardless of what I'm going through down here, my focus is always beyond to a glorious event. Oh my God. It speaks of it in Thessalonians. And there, sometimes I just read that. Oh my God. And it just chases all the troubles away. Amen.
Glory.
Paul said, comfort one another.
Yes. Yes.
With these things. Those who are dead, to those who are asleep in Christ, He brings with you. He has to, because you're in Him. Absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. He brings with them. And then those that are yet manifestly living on the earth and remaining on the earth, you shall be snatched. King James called up that word means to be violently, amen, taken. The root word there is translated in English rape. It means to take by force. He shall rapture you. That's where that word comes from. He shall by force take you out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. And every problem you ever thought you had, it's over.
It's over.
No more crying. No more sorrows. I'm going where the wicked shall cease from troubling. While the weary shall be at rest. And all of God's elect. We shall sit, using that term, at His feet and be blessed. But you are always blessed. You're blessed now. If you will project beyond where you are in these bodies and focus on where you are in Christ right now. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Oh my God, none will be, but all things are passed. Already all things are passed. Troubles come, all things have passed away. And all things have become new. Oh my God. And so we can even say like the part, weeping may endure for the night, but joy. Can you say joy? Can you say joy? Joy cometh in the morning. We'll take it further. God bless you. Hallelujah.